Laudato Jesus Christus. Vatican and World News.
In the headlines this Thursday, August 5th, Christian churches across the United Kingdom and Ireland gear up to celebrate Climate Sunday. The World Health Organization calls for halting COVID-19 vaccine booster shots in favor of unvaccinated people, and Australian bishops call for action to care for the earth and for the poor. In the Vatican, I'm Father Benedict Mayaki. In its 2021-2022 social justice statement launched on Thursday, the Australian Catholic Bishops' Conference is highlighting its ambitious commitment to a more sustainable church based on Pope Francis's encyclical Laudato Si. Lydia O'Kane has more.
Cry of the Earth, Cry of the Poor. That's the title of the annual social justice statement issued by the Australian Catholic Bishops' Conference on Thursday, affirming its commitment to a more sustainable church. Drawing from Pope Francis' encyclical on creation and our common home, the bishops commit to a seven-year journey towards seven Laudato Si goals. In recent times, Australia has faced a number of natural disasters, including the Millennium Drought, the 2019-2020 bushfire season, the 2021 flood, not to mention the COVID-19 pandemic. We are facing an ecological crisis, and Pope Francis wants the whole church globally to act with a greater sense of urgency, says Bishop Vincent Long, chair of the Bishops' Commission for Social Justice, Mission and Service. Bishop Long points out that Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people have been caring for the country from time immemorial. The rest of us need to listen and to learn how we can walk together to care for the whole of creation, including one another, he says. The statement notes that people are being called to a new way of thinking, feeling, understanding and living. It also explains that the Laudato Si goals aim to put Pope Francis' 2015 encyclical into practice, making communities around the world sustainable in the spirit of the integral ecology of Laudato Si. With this in mind, the bishops are inviting Catholics to uncover the sacramentality of creation in recognizing the divine presence in the world and to respond with wonder and awe. Bishop Long says it is his hope that the cry of the earth, cry of the poor, will encourage ever deeper and more effective Christian responses to the urgent cries of the earth and the poor. Families, schools, parishes, dioceses and organisations are also being urged to join the bishops in signing up to the Laudato Si Action Platform. The statement says the platform, an initiative of the Vatican Dicastery for promoting integral human development, will gather ideas for action from around the globe to help participants in their journeys. The Bishops' Conference's Office for Social Justice has been involved in developing the platform. The launch of the statement also coincides with a new name change. The Australian Bishops' Conference's Office for Social Justice will now be known as the Office for Justice, Ecology and Peace. I'm Lydia O'Kane.
Christians across the United Kingdom and Ireland are preparing to mark Climate Sunday. This initiative is part of preparations being held in the run-up to the COP26 Climate Conference in Glasgow. Devin Watkins has that story.
Less than 3 months remain before the UN Climate Conference hosted by the Scottish city of Glasgow from October 31st to November 12th. To prepare for that event, several Christian organizations are multiplying their awareness and advocacy initiatives and are encouraging people to take concrete actions in the fight against climate change. One such event is Climate Sunday, an initiative launched last year by the Environmental Issues Network. The network operates under the auspices of Churches Together in Great Britain and Ireland. Churches and congregations across the British Isles are invited to hold a local Climate Sunday on any Sunday before the 26th Conference of the Parties, or COP26. Christians are called to participate through prayer, reflection, and climate initiatives. Climate Sunday forms part of the liturgical period known as the Time for Creation, which runs from September 1st to October 4th each year. Over 1,500 churches in England, Wales, Scotland, and Ireland have joined the Climate Sunday initiative. CAFOD, the charitable agency of the English and Welsh Bishops' Conference, is also supporting the event. The aim is to contribute with the testimony of the churches and Christian organizations to the lobbying activities of civil society organizations so that concrete actions at national and international levels against climate change are agreed at COP26. The climate action and commitment of churches in Britain and Ireland will be presented to the government in London at an ecumenical celebration organized on Sunday, September 5th. The event will be live-streamed. COP26 offers opportunities for activism, for learning, and for putting into practice what we believe in, says Reverend Susan Brown of the Anglican Church of Scotland's Faith Impact Forum. She says we need to ensure that the voices of those who are experiencing the effects of climate change are heard loud and clear. I'm Devin Watkins.
U.S. bishops are calling on the faithful to give generously in support of the church in Africa, saying that our commitment will make a real, tangible difference in the lives of countless people. Christopher Wells tells us more.
The church in the United States traditionally dedicates the months of July and August to solidarity with Africa. This year, too, the nation's bishops are inviting the faithful to contribute generously to the annual collection established for this purpose. The initiative, launched in 2004, is supported by the Special Subcommission of the USCCB responsible for supporting pastoral projects for the development of the church in Africa, in particular those related to youth, Catholic schools, formation of clergy and laity, and promotion of peace in areas of conflict. Endemic poverty, ecological disasters, poor governance, endless conflict, and a massive population displacement continue to plague much of the continent, which remains one of the most politically and economically marginalized areas of the world. And yet, Africa is also a continent of enormous spiritual vitality, where the people of God, ordained and laity alike, share the gospel with a joy that should inspire all of us to do likewise, said Cardinal Joseph Tobin, Archbishop of Newark and chair of the USCCB's Subcommittee on the Church in Africa. American Catholics' donations, the Cardinal explained, help provide the basic resources that the Church in Africa needs in its pastoral mission to deepen the faith of its people, evangelize its neighbors, strengthen its leadership, and promote peace and justice. Cardinal Tobin emphasized that every dollar given through church offerings or sent online goes a long way to making a real difference in the faith lives of individuals, families, and communities across Africa. Gifts to the Solidarity Fund for the Church in Africa support the Church's mission to bring hope, foster understanding and healing among diverse peoples, and help to spread the good news of God's love and mercy through Jesus Christ, said Cardinal Tobin. He added, the generosity of U.S. Catholics makes a tangible, lasting impact in the lives of our Catholic brothers and sisters. I'm Christopher Wells.
The United Nations Health Agency on Wednesday appealed for a moratorium on booster shots of COVID-19 vaccine in order to ensure that the world's most vulnerable people in poor countries who are still awaiting their first dose can be inoculated. Director General of the World Health Organization, Tedros Ghebreyesus, on Wednesday made the appeal mostly to wealthier countries that have far outpaced the developing world in numbers of vaccinations. Robin Gomes tells us.
While hundreds of millions of people are still waiting for their first dose, some rich countries are moving towards booster doses. So far, more than 4 billion vaccine doses have been administered globally. More than 80% have gone to high and upper middle income countries, even though they account for less than half of the world's population. I understand the concern of all governments to protect their people from the Delta variant. But we cannot and we should not accept countries that have already used most of the global supply of vaccines, using even more of it, while the world's most vulnerable people remain unprotected. In late May, I called for global support for a sprint to September to enable country to vaccinate at least 10% of its population by the end of September. We're now more than halfway to that target date, but we're not on track. When I issued that challenge in May, high-income countries had administered around 50 doses for every 100 people. Since then, that number has doubled. High-income countries have now administered almost 100 doses for every 100 people. Meanwhile, low-income countries have only been able to administer 1.5 doses for every 100 people due to lack of supply. We need an urgent reversal from the majority of vaccines going to high-income countries to the majority going to low-income countries. Accordingly, WHO is calling for a moratorium on boosters until at least the end of September to enable at least 10% of the population of every country to be vaccinated.
That was WHO Director General Dr. Tedros Ghebreyesus. This year, the Order of Preachers, also known as the Dominicans, celebrates the 800th anniversary of the death of its founder, St. Dominic, who died on the 6th of August, 1221. Vatican News spoke to Father Gerard Francisco Timor, the Master General of the Dominican Order, who reflected on the legacy of the saint and his example as a source of inspiration for the Church today.
St. Dominic, even today, has a lot to say to the Church and to the world as we confront the different challenges of our times. For instance, the challenge of indifference, especially indifference to the suffering other, to those on the periphery, and not just geographic, the existential peripheries. We remember that Dominic, when he was a student in Palencia, there was a famine, and Dominic sold his precious books. With what he sold, the money, he used to found a house of charity. And therefore, he organized something to help others. And according to the biographer, he inspired others to do so. At that time, Dominic preached the mercy of truth, misericordia veritatis. That is perfectly manifested in what Pope Francis wrote, misericordiae vultus, Jesus, the face of the Father's mercy. In our time, we confront clericalism. We Dominican friars, majority are clerics. We are priests, but we are also brothers. And therefore, that is the message of Pope Francis, Fratelli Tutti. And it is very important that Dominic gave to the order the charism of preaching. And therefore, even the religious sisters, even the nuns, even the Dominican laity and the Dominican youth, we have the charism of preaching. And therefore, preaching is not a clerical duty, but a duty of all the baptized. And I think that is one important heritage of St. Dominic.
That was Father Francisco Gerard Timonet, Master General of the Order of Preachers. That brings us to the end of this edition of Vatican and World News. For more on these and other stories, you can visit our web portal at www.vaticannews.va. You can also follow all the papal events on our Vatican News website, as well as on the Vatican News English section Facebook page and Twitter account. My thanks go to the sound engineers and technicians in studio. In the Vatican, I'm Father Benedict Mayaki.